let me ask you a question. Have you ever put on your boots? I mean your good boots. And sometimes they're the big old gum boots that you put on, you know? Y'all know anything about that? With all the rain we've had here lately and the flooding in certain parts down around Marietta and Williamstown in that area, not so much Williamstown, but Marietta, you may be able to picture this in your mind, but you put on your gum boots, and it's really, really muddy out there. And so you're trying to make it from point A to point B, and you put the gum boots on, and just as you walk, it like slushes. You ever done that? Slush. And then you sink up a little bit, right? Because it's so, so wet. And then you take another step and you slush, and your boot wants to stick to the mud. So you have to put a little bit of extra effort just to keep trudging along, kind of like this, to make it from, and sometimes you even slip a little bit. That makes it even a little bit worse, right? Maybe you're going up a little hill or a little incline. So you're having a hard time with your footing. You got your good boots on. Or what about, we don't have too much of this anymore, but what about in the deep snow? Again, you got your boots on. I remember as a kid, at least, you know, it's kind of hard. You know, you put one step down and you kind of bury up quite a bit, and then you got a step, and it's just like it's an effort for every step that you take. You know, I think in that is an illustration of what we need to be and what we need to do as Christians, if we know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. Now, the word that we're going to use to describe that is to plod. Plod. Now, if you listened, and I appreciate some of you tuned in and some of you listened later to the message that we preached down at Ambassador. Now, that was the Reader's Digest condensed version of it, okay? What we're going to do up here in church is we're going to break it down and spend a little bit more time talking about being a plodder for Jesus. Being a plodder for Jesus. You say, what in the world does that mean? That means just like those boots you got on, keep on stepping forward, even though it's tough, even though it's kind of hard to get that foot going, and keep putting one foot in front of the other and just keep on moving for the Lord. Now, probably every one of us knows someone who used to be serving the Lord. Probably. But something came up. Maybe it was busyness in life. But God wants us, even in the busyness of life, to be a plodder for Him. Keep putting one foot with determination and resolve in front of the other and keep moving forward for the Lord. Some people are no longer plodding or serving the Lord because they got their feelings hurt in church. Now, I know those feelings hurt in church are real. Okay, I've had my feelings hurt in church too, but let me tell you, we really got to be thick-skinned about it. Really, we do. We got to be a little thicker-skinned about it. Because I'm not in a church, I'm not in a ministry, I'm not serving the Lord because of other people. I'm doing it for the Lord. So when people say things, and they can be mean, and people might criticize, and they can be mean, we need to just keep on trudging through the mud and trudging through the sloppiness and the slime or the snow or whatever analogy you want to use and just keep on moving forward for the Lord. You know, really, I believe that almost everybody who's serving the Lord from a pure, clean heart will experience opposition to that service in some way. Now, you think about it. I mean, you know, churches used to be filled. I mean, I know it's been a while since this church has been filled. It was, you know, several years back, the best I understand. But, you know, churches in general is what I'm speaking of. You know, they used to be filled with people. And so many of them are no longer plotting for the Lord. Now, I want to be the kind of person. I want to be the kind of person that regardless of what comes up, regardless of, if you will, the weather, regardless of how difficult it might be, I want to be the kind of person that keeps on plodding forward for the Lord. And can I tell you, it's mentioned in Scripture a fair amount that we're supposed to be plodding for the Lord. It doesn't use the word plod, and we're going to look at Scripture here in just a moment, and several Scriptures here in just a moment. But let me tell you, one thing that I want to be known for. Now, I don't think, and I seriously mean this, I don't think that when I die and I leave this world, I don't think there'll be too many people that look back and say, you know that Steve DeLay, now he was quite a preacher. You know, I don't think that. And I don't think that, boy, that Steve DeLay, he had quite the intellect. That boy, he was quite a mental giant. I don't expect that to happen. Or anything like that. But what I'd like to have happen is for people to remember me and think, now there's someone who was a plotter for Jesus. There's someone who kept on doing what they knew to do was right. I mean, folks, we got to get serious about this and not let these little things distract us from serving the Lord. I mean, let me tell you, our time is short on this earth. Our neighbors and our friends and our family, their time is short. And we must be serving the Lord with determination, with resolve, with endurance. We need to make up our mind that I really don't care what other people think about what I'm serving the Lord. Now, I'm not saying we offend them intentionally, but you're not going to make people happy. You are not going to make everybody happy regardless of what you do. I've been told that Clarence Thomas, one of our Supreme Court justices, has a plaque on his desk that says something like this: the only way to make everybody happy is to say nothing, do nothing, and be nothing. And that's pretty much it. You and I, if we know Jesus as our Savior, we've trusted Him as our Savior, we need to make up our mind that I'm going to plod for the Lord. I'm going to keep on going. Whether it's muddy, whether it's slimy, whether it's snowy, whether people are criticizing me. And let me tell you, I believe the world is getting worse and worse, don't you? So if we don't make up our mind now that we're going to keep on serving the Lord regardless of what happens, there's a pretty good chance that when those regardless of what happens, we'll say, nah, I think I'll just back off. You know, I hope I'm wrong on this, but I think we are super close to the government trying to impose a whole lot of restrictions on churches and what we can say and what we can do in our churches. Now, I hope I'm wrong on that, but I suspect if we don't have a revival in our country, that in the future we're going to face even more and more opposition as a Christian. So whether the opposition is from other people, whether the opposition is from the devil, whether the opposition is even within the church sometimes, the people just can't be happy with the way you're doing things. I want to be the kind of person that says, you know what? I am going to serve the Lord regardless. Today we're just going to look, this morning, we're just going to look at one point, okay? We're just going to look at one main point. I know that's going to kind of blow some of y'all's minds. We're looking at the main point of being a plotter for Jesus. A plotter for Jesus. If you would turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. The main point: keep plotting for Jesus. Keep serving Jesus. Plod forth. And again, I don't want this just to be like a theoretical type of message. Say, okay, yeah, okay, all right. I hope it's very practical, because a lot of people have given up serving the Lord for a variety of reasons, as we've already talked about. I hope that you don't fit into that category. But if you look at Scripture in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, we're going to look at this, and we're going to break this down eventually over a series of messages looking at being a plotter for Jesus. But here it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses." Now, if you stop right there, you say, wherefore? What exactly is that talking about? It's talking about Hebrews chapter 11, which is called the faith chapter, or the hall of faith, where it says, by faith, this one did this. By faith, this one did this. By faith, this one did this. It's just statement after statement after statement. It's really, there's not a lot of challenge found in Hebrews chapter 11 as far as direct commands or this is what you need to be. But then you get to chapter 12 and it says, wherefore? You know, since we've said all of that, we've written all of that in Scripture as Paul wrote this in Hebrews chapter 11. He says, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. There's been a lot of people that have been through an awful lot, but they kept on serving the Lord. It says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. Now, the idea is of a runner, is of a runner. And you've heard me say many times that the Christian life is much more of a marathon than it is a sprint. We've known people that have sprinted, right? You know, maybe they come down the aisle and they trust Jesus as their Savior, ask the Lord to forgive them of their sins and be their Savior. They believe Jesus really died for them on the cross. They confess Jesus as their Savior, say, okay, I'm going to serve the Lord. And then for a while, they're like, wow, they're faithful. Look at that. They're coming to church. They're coming to church Sunday school. Wow. Sunday school. Wow. They're coming Sunday morning. They're coming Sunday night. They're coming Wednesday night. We have in our church Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We have four main services of the church. Four main, and none of them are necessarily better than the other. They all serve a different purpose. And it's structured that way for a reason. I hope that you're taking advantage of all four services. Because you're never going to be all that God wants you to be unless you take advantages of all the services of the church. I don't know why we think we can kind of cut corners sometimes. It's kind of like, ah. But you're missing something. You're missing what God wants you to learn, what God wants you to be, what God wants you to become. And the Christian life there is likened to a race. Of course, you don't run with a whole lot of weight on. I mean, you don't put on armor, so to speak, and say, I'm going to go run a race. But you lay aside that weight. You lay aside the sin which holds us back and run this marathon. But there it is. I think the main point, the main phrase of this passage, verses 1 to 3, it says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And then it goes on. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Aren't you glad that he is the author, the originator, the finisher or completer of our faith? Without him, we have no plan of salvation, but with Jesus we do. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction, or that would be the idea of criticism or hostility of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Today, the main point, keep serving Jesus. And I think it's found in that phrase. And I'd say I believe that's the main phrase that's found in these three verses. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. You see the idea of patience there? The Greek word, I'll not pronounce it for you. It probably wouldn't mean a whole lot to you. But you know what it means? The idea of the word patience there is cheerful or hopeful endurance. Did you catch that? Cheerful or hopeful endurance. Now to me, when I read that, the idea of endurance clicks because he's talking about a race, right? He's talking about, y'all looking at me really funny. Is my tie crooked or something? Okay. But the idea is of a race. So when it says with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, that word, the noun form for that is used 32 times in the New Testament. 32 times, this idea of cheerful or hopeful endurance. The verb form is used 18 times in the New Testament. So a total of 50 times the idea of this endurance in life is mentioned in Scripture in the New Testament. Now it's used 6 times in the book of Hebrews. It's used 3 times in this passage, and we'll look at that at some future message as we look in this series. But you know what? It's used in chapter 12 and verse 7. If you want to flip over there, I don't have the verse up on the screen, but it says, if you endure chastening, talking about chastening of the Lord, whenever we do something we shouldn't and God gets after us, we need to endure that chastening. But it's also used 2 times in Hebrews chapter 10. So if you want to turn back to Hebrews chapter 10, I want you to notice a couple verses. In Hebrews chapter 10, we're talking about this word endurance in Scripture, okay? In Hebrews chapter 10, look at verse 32. Now this gives us an idea of who Paul is writing this message to. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32. It says, but call to remembrance the former days. Now, this is the past. He's writing to these Hebrews who are Christians, and he's saying, I want you to remember what happened in the past. It says, but call to remembrance the former days in which after ye were illuminated. Now, the idea there, I believe, is when they were saved. Now, here's the word. Ye endured a great fight of afflictions. In other words, you had a lot of contradiction. You had a lot of hostility towards you. You had a lot of persecution. And guess what, Hebrews? You endured. You plodded forward. You kept serving the Lord. And then he goes on down here a little bit further. He reminds them of that, that you endured through that. And they go to, drop down to verse 36. It says, for ye have need of patience. The same word, endurance. You have need of endurance that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. So what is he saying to the Hebrews? It's the same message for us, okay? Probably everybody here has gone through a difficult time. Would you agree with that? Just give me a little nod. Don't get too excited. Just give me a little nod. Yeah, we've been through some difficult times. And even in your Christian life, when you serve God, there's probably been something difficult come up. It could be an illness. It could be disagreements in your family. It could be a disagreement in church. It could be some problem has come up to hinder you. And he's saying to the Hebrews, you've experienced that, but guess what? You need to keep on enduring. Remember, you kept on plodding in the past. Keep on plodding right now. Boy, what a message for us today. Keep on serving the Lord. It amazes me with Christians. It really amazes me. This kind of blows my brain that people think that the church will just keep on being there. I can ignore the church for a month at a time. I can ignore the church even sometimes longer than that. I can ignore God and my service to Him and everything's just going to be fine. Can I tell you, there are churches all over the place that are closing. Why? Because we're not plotting for the Lord. We're not putting one foot in front of the other in our service to God. We're just kind of, I don't need to progress for the Lord. I don't need to serve the Lord. My goodness. I know of 2 churches in Doddridge County that's closed lately in the last little bit. Now, I'm not suggesting that it happens to us, but it's almost like people are in denial that just don't come to church faithful, don't serve the church faithful, they don't tithe to the church faithful, they don't support the ministries of the church faithfully. You know, it's just kind of like, I can just pop in and say, hey, how's everybody doing? And I love this church. I love this church so much. Well, if you love this church so much, you ought to be in your place. You ought to be plotting for the Lord. You ought to be putting one foot in front of the other. It's not always easy, but you need to be here. You need to be faithful. I'll bet you a lot of these churches that close, people say, how did that place close? Well, probably if you'd have been in your place, it might not have closed. You say, preacher, that's kind of harsh and that's kind of blunt. Well, sometimes we preachers just got to be a little harsh and we got to be a little bit blunt. You and I need to be in our place. When the doors of the church are open, we need to be in our place, ready to serve God, ready to learn from the Word of God, ready to be challenging in my walk with God. If not, we're not plotters. We're just kind of wishy-washiers. I just created a word. We preachers enjoy doing that sometimes, creating words. Don't be a wishy-washier. Be a plotter for the Lord. He says, Hebrews, Christians, he says, remember, you plotted in the past. Keep on plotting for the Lord. And I'm going to say this, and I might make somebody mad, but you know what? Age is not necessarily an excuse for stopping to plot. You know what I mean? Now, don't misunderstand what I am saying. I realize that you may not be able to do the same ministries that you used to do. But retirement, I'm not convinced retirement in a Christian life is even a Christian principle. You can retire from your job, but you should never retire from your service to the Lord. And sometimes we're like, I'm just going to quit plodding. I'm just going to leave. And I understand that sometimes we have shut-ins. We have people whose health do not allow them to come. I get that. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying we can't just check out, so to speak, because we're a little bit older than we used to be. If you used to be faithful and you have the health to still be faithful, be faithful. Now, I'm sure, you know, some folks say, I can't drive at night. We got a van over there. We do. God blessed us with a van. And if enough people would say, you know what, I don't drive at night. I'm a little bit older, but I'd like to ride to church. I figure we could work something out, don't you? Don't stop plotting. Keep on moving forward. It says, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. He reminded the Hebrews that he's writing to. Guess what? You've endured in the past. You kept on persevering. You kept on plotting. Keep on plotting today. Now let me ask you a question. Who or what would like to see you stop plotting for Jesus? The devil, right? The devil. The devil would love to see you lose any resolve you have for serving the Lord. I mean, the devil would love to see it. Yeah. Go do your own thing. Quit plotting for Jesus. That's great. The devil would love to see it, wouldn't it? Most of the world, I'm talking about the world's philosophies and the world's ways, and even the people of the world, in a sense, they'd just soon not have any churches. Seriously. To a lot of people, now they should never be our enemy. We should love them to Jesus. Do you understand? But in their eyes, we're their enemy. They'd love to see us quit plotting for Jesus. They'd love to see us start canceling all of our services and say, you know what, we'll meet once a month. You know, that's all we can do. You know, they'd love to see us quit our outreaches because they don't want to hear anything about the gospel. But you know what? The world may want to see it. The devil may want to see it. But guess what God wants to see? God wants to see us fired up for the Lord. God wants to see us keep plotting, putting one foot in front of the other in our service to the Lord. Keep plotting for the Lord. Keep plotting for the Lord. Let us run with patience or endurance the race that is set before us. If you'd turn in your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9, 10, 11, and 12, We're going to look at this same word as used here as well. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 9, 10, 11, and 12, it says, Paul, as he writes to the Colossian church, he says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to," notice this, "pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." That's quite a prayer there, right? But he's also, it says, "praying that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God." Here it says, "I'm praying that you're strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience." There it is, endurance. "Unto all endurance," or patience, "and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet," or qualified, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Paul says, "I'm praying for you that you endure." Now, he mentions a lot of things that he's praying for, but one of them, it says, "strengthened with all might," verse 11, "according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness." You know what? I believe something we could add to our prayer list for ourselves and for our fellow Christians. Lord, just help them keep on plodding, keep on enduring, keep on serving the Lord. If you don't keep on plodding, if you don't keep on serving, if you don't keep on enduring, who's going to? And can I say that you're not going to answer for me? And the person, go ahead and look at them. Gawk at them. I like that word, gawk. Go ahead and gawk at the person sitting next to you. Okay, did you gawk at them? Whoever you looked at, guess what? You're not going to answer for them, and they are not going to answer for you. So I believe a good, Paul says, "I'm praying for you, Colossians, that what? That you endure, that you plod." We probably ought to add it to our prayer list that people of our church plod, endure in their walk with the Lord. And we ought to add to our prayer list, "Lord, help me to plod. Help me to endure." I'm sure that if you talk to a lot of people that are no longer serving the Lord faithfully. Now, if they trusted Jesus, they're still saved. They're just disobedient. They're backslidden. Because if you're truly born again, if you're truly saved, you cannot lose your salvation. I can give you verse after verse after verse to prove that. You cannot lose your salvation if you are truly born again. But you know what? I bet those people, if you talk to one that says, "Yeah, I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. And I used to do..." I bet if you talk to them before they quit plotting, before they quit serving faithfully, I bet they say, "You know what? It won't happen to me." But the devil's slick. The devil is slick. I mean, the devil brings distractions. The devil, I mean, if you don't believe that, just try to sit down and read your Bible and figure out how many things try to interrupt you. Just get on your knees and start to pray to the Lord, and guess what? There'll be 100,000 distractions. And some of them will pop in your brain, and your phone will start dinging and all kind of stuff. You see, the devil is real. The devil doesn't want us to keep plotting. And I bet you most of the people that are no longer plotting, you don't see them in the seat anymore. And you say, "Where are they? I don't know. I don't figure they would tell you before they quit plotting that this is going to happen to me." They probably thought, "I'll just keep on serving the Lord." Well, something happened. So prayer would be a good idea, don't you think? Pray for ourselves that we keep faithful, plotting. What about praying for one another? Good idea, don't you think? What about praying for your church? I encourage you to pray for your church. What are we praying for our church? We're praying for increase. We're praying for revival. You might as well add in there, I'm praying for that we keep plodding. That we keep plodding. Because if this world keeps on going the way it's going to be tougher and tougher here at Oakmount, I'm telling you. But we need to keep on doing what we know to do is right. We need to keep on enduring. We need to keep on plotting for the Lord as a church. There's other scriptures. Paul commends the Thessalonian church for their plotting or for their endurance. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. If you'd turn to that if you like, it'll be up here on the monitor here in just a moment. But 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. It says, we are bound to thank God always for you, Paul writes to a local church. Brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. Wow, that's good. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. That's good too. But notice what it says. So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience, for your endurance. In spite of persecution, you have continued to serve the Lord. Wow. For your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure. Wow. That's a different word, but the same idea. Different Greek word, but the same idea. So Paul is saying to the Thessalonian church, attaboy. I'm going to commend you for keep plotting for Jesus. You've kept it up in spite of persecution. Boy, wouldn't it be good to be commended by the Lord as a church? That we just keep on plotting. We keep on serving. We keep on doing what God wants us to do. May that be the case here at Oak Mound. May we continue to plod for Jesus. Even when ministry is slow. I mean, I think we're almost past the days, other than just a sovereign miracle of God, where we have an outreach and then boom, you know, we have 20 new people. I mean, it's slow. Ministry is slow. It requires plodding. It requires grinding forth. It requires putting one foot in front of the other. I mean, we got the van, and you know, we'll have. God bless them. We have some real faithful ones that ride our van, but they're not a huge number of them. And some will come for a little bit, and then they fade off the scene. I can't even get them to answer my texts anymore. Some of them is like, okay, what happened? And then you have these ministries. We had our Easter egg hunt outreach. It was an outreach is what it was. And we had a lot of people, but we didn't see no huge bump. But hopefully they're hearing the true meaning of Easter, and one by one maybe we'll reach them. I mean, we put forth a concerted effort to try to reach the apartments down here. Really, we have. And it's slow. But may our church be commended by the Lord someday and say, guess what? Attaboy, Oak Mound. You kept plodding for Jesus. Even when it was slow and you were only moving forward real slow, you kept on doing what you knew to do was right. You stuck to the Word. We see here, Paul commends the Thessalonian church. We could go on and on. There's several other scriptures that mention that. But, Paul challenges us to keep plotting in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If you turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Almost finished. 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Now, it's a different word. It's not the same Greek word, I'll freely admit to you. But look at what this says. This is actually one of my favorite verses in Scripture. One of my favorite verses. I got a lot of them. But you know, Paul challenges us as he writes to, again, another local church to keep plotting. Notice how he phrases it in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Now, it says, therefore. So if you see a therefore, you look back at the passage before it to see what it's there for. And it's because, if you look, verse 57 says, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have victory through Him. And since we have victory through Jesus and what he did for us, he says here, therefore, my beloved brethren. You reckon that's talking to Christians?
Yeah.
Notice what it says. Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Wow. Again, although this doesn't use that same Greek word of endurance, that's what it's talking about, isn't it? It says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? Your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Do you realize that everything else you do in this world other than your service for the Lord will all burn up someday? But this, what you do for Jesus will not burn up. It's not in vain. It's not empty. It's not useless. So be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding. You might say, keep plotting for Jesus. Keep doing what you know to do is right. You know what? I believe that God has called every one of us to run our race with patience or endurance. You know, as I've said probably several times in the message, I do believe that ministering for the Lord will become more and more difficult. I'm not talking about just the people that stand behind the pulpit, the preachers. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about for the teachers in general. I think for any type of service you have for the Lord, when you witness for the Lord and all of that, regardless of what you're doing for the Lord, I believe as time goes on, if we don't see revival, I think it's going to get more and more difficult. But will you keep plotting for the Lord? Now, for some, I don't mean to be mean, but this idea of keep plotting is foreign to you because you're not plotting now. I mean, you're just kind of barely hanging in there. I mean, you're not putting forth much effort. It's kind of like, eh. So I'd encourage you to get back in the game. I mean, get serious about it, man. Come on. Your time is ticking. Tick, 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 and this earth's ticking away. Get serious. Get plugged in. Get to ministering. If you're not a member, join our church. Get plugged in. Get doing what God wants you to do. Get telling people about Jesus. Get in the Word of God. Get to praying. Get to tithing. Get to all the things that God wants you to do. Plod for the Lord. But if you're there here today and you say, you know what, I'm plotting. I am. I'm trying. Will you keep plotting for the Lord? Will you keep plotting for the Lord? A lot of things will get you to try to stop plotting for Jesus. But will you keep plotting for Jesus? As that mud gets thicker, as that mud gets slimier and you have a harder time picking up that foot and going to the next step, or as the snow gets deeper and you have a harder time pulling your leg way up like this and moving forward, that'd be great for the preacher to fall on the platform, wouldn't it? But as you do that, as it gets more difficult, will you keep plotting for the Lord? I hope that when you leave this world, as a Christian, if you know Jesus as your Savior. You know, there's a lot of things they can say about us. You know, he was a good this, and he was a good that, and he was a good perhaps. She was good at this, and she did this. And I notice more and more in obituaries, you know, you hardly see anything about church anymore. Really. You don't very often read that they're even a member of a church. You don't very often. Now, sometimes, yes, but you don't very often read in there that, you know, they served the Lord, they were a Sunday school teacher, they worked with kids, or they did this in the church, or doesn't happen much anymore. So there could be a lot. When you fade off of the scene, when you die, leave this world, what will be said of you? I read a lot in the paper. Ah, there's a hunter. Boy, hunter. Big hunter. Loved hunting. Loved the outdoors. Fisherman. All fishermen. There's nothing wrong with hunting and fishing, but I hope what's something more important to you is serving Jesus. You're not going to answer to the Lord about how big of a buck you got or how big of a fish you caught or how good you were at crafts or how many cars you've restored. It's going to be, have you served me? Have you plotted for me? Have you served me faithfully? I hope somewhere along the line someone can say of you when you leave this world, if the Lord don't come back first, you know, there's somebody. They plotted for Jesus. There's somebody that kept on doing what they knew to do was right, even when things looked dark. There's somebody that was faithful. Can that be said of you? Even now. If not, we're going to sing a song in a little bit. Would you come to the altar and say, Lord, help me to be a plotter? And if you're here today and you say, well, I think I am a plotter, maybe you want to come to the altar and say, Lord, help me to keep plotting. I want to be even more faithful for you. Maybe you're here today and, you know, the message has been for those that are saved, but maybe you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior. You're not sure where you're going to spend eternity. If I looked you straight in the eye and said, you know, where are you going to spend eternity? You'd say, I don't know. Can I tell you? You don't have to have that blank look on your face when someone asks you where you're going to spend eternity. You can trust Jesus as your Savior. You can say, Lord, forgive me my sins. All the things I've done wrong, forgive me my sins. Wash that clean. You can say, Lord, I believe Jesus was your Son who died on the cross and paid for my sins upon that cross and resurrected back to life. Jesus, you're my Savior. And when you mean that from your heart, you don't have to have a blank look when someone says, where are you going to spend eternity? You can say, according to the Word of God, I'm going to spend it in heaven with Jesus. So if that's you today, I'm going to encourage you. I'll be somewhere down front down here. If you're not sure you're saved and you want to be saved, come forward and say, Preacher, I want to be saved. I'd love to take the time and show you from God's Word how you can be saved. But one more time for the Christian. Are you plotting? Are you kind of AWOL right now from serving the Lord faithfully? Or can you see a lot of area for improvement in this area of plotting? Or you might say, I'm plotting, but I could always do better. What this altar's for, to do business with God. Will you listen?